welcome to A Chat in the Garden with Monique A.J. Smith, where significance blooms in athletics and sports. It is June 15th. Can you believe that? We're at the halfway mark of the month of June. Time is truly flying. I just want to share that the UBU 100 One Women's Empowerment and Golf Clinic at Kingsmill Resort last Friday was fabulous. It was so great. It was one of the best women's clinics I have ever attended. And I would say I have at least attended about four of those. It was so well planned out. And fun. That's the part that was. It kept us engaged. It was slightly competitive. Yes, Sister Girl almost got the money, okay? Hats off to Queen and Mike Bailey, the founders of Wings versus Rent Foundation. And Queen is a former mentee of mine. Well, I said current mentee, put like it, current mentee. And so glad that she has a heart for the youth. So this golf tournament, golf clinic, Women's Empowerment, benefited the young people in the Richmond area that belong to their foundation. And we all know, those of us who've been on Earth a little while, a couple of decades, that when you see someone, it gives you that oomph, the inspiration, that empowerment that you can do the same. And you have to be around that. And it's one of those things that happen and you don't even know it's happening. When I was younger, I was around politicians a lot, local politicians. My parents were very big on about voting rights. They actually were poll workers, and to me, it's just normal just to be a part of the system, and that's one reason why I think I am so big about bylaws and knowing how to use your voice to influence decision makers. That's just something that's ingrained in me, and I don't even know it. So this is why we need to support organizations like this, because if we don't, they're going to see something and those individuals who may not be living a positive life become their heroes and sheroes. So that being said, we got a date already for next year, and this is the part I think y'all should really understand. It is held at Kingsmill. Do you understand the significance of Kingsmill? It's on the PGA circuit, all right? This is where Curtis Strange, you know, this is where Tiger Woods swung his golf court. Lord, my brain is just gone. Plug. Oh, yeah. Glad I said that. Guess what? And we all got new golf clubs and bags. Now, when do you go to a clinic or a tournament and you come away with golf bags and golf clubs? Let me just tell you, Queen and Mike were very intentional. He was just trying to show that this game is attainable for all women, all ages. Let me tell you, there's some 80-year-old women out there, 70-year-old women out there, okay, and getting it done. I think one of them had the longest range. Just well done. I just can't tell you how much well done that was. So you need to come out and experience that. The dates are June 8th and June 9th, and they have done some tweaking. They're giving the women one whole day to ourselves. which would include lunch, practice, and golf. I guess practicing means clinic, and dinner. And then all the golfing takes place the next day. So the whole goal is to get us enticed, because he says we're the freshman class, and that we'll get excited about it and continue to go and go to the range, go to the putt-putt, and then feel encouraged to go ahead and compete in the golf tournament. So you know I'm supporting this once again, and I'm telling you now to put it on your calendar, and you're going to hear about it again. I do want to shout out the individuals that did come out from the garden, Dr. Tamika Ferguson. She's Assistant Dean of Student Affairs and Inclusive Excellence at VCU and the founder of Black Athlete Sister Circle. She has several of those around the state at PWI institutions. So glad that she took the time out, and she did quite well as well, so I was excited about that. Christina Washington, the owner of Sweet Spot Sports. It's an education and sports group where she works with our youth to try to show them how sports education combine. And I'm really proud of her because I've known her since she's been 14 and 15, and now she's 22. And she, again, that's a perfect example of what I'm talking about. She would help me with my youth workshops, and she caught the bug. Now, she was already in the sense of service. That's how her mother is. But how to use sports the way to do that, I think she got that from my auntie Tony. So I'm excited about how that has turned out. That is, and she was playing well. Oh, yes. Yes. And Alexis Avery, she was not able to make the clinic part, but she was able to make the awards program, and glad to see her. And then I had one gentleman, those of you who are of the CIAA, Moses Golak, the former women's basketball coach at Union, and he used to coach at my dear St. Paul's College. He came because he said he saw that I was coming, and he paid for the clinic. I said, bless your heart. But when I saw him, he was out there playing golf. And that's one thing Golak does like to do is play golf. I've known that for about 25 years. But, yeah, so we were able to mingle with everyone for dinner, and that was just fantastic. And the one thing I had to really concentrate so I didn't boo-hoo, my former boss, Leon Carey, commissioner of the CIAA for 22 years, he came out this evening. And he was aware I was not, that they had a hole in my honor, and it blew up my face, and I walked in on hole number one, there's my face, gave me the death. I said, oh. And we took a picture with that, and it was just great. It was just a great, great day. And I'm so excited about how it worked out. I got it on my calendar already. I'm going to probably book my accommodations this month, so I won't put anything else on my calendar. And you need to do the same thing. All right, June the 8th and 9th in Williamsburg, Virginia, at UBU Women's Empowerment and Golf Clinic at King's Mill. Let's come out and hang out, okay? Hey, yesterday I got this email from a person that I am in a group with. I belong to the Black Speakers Network. And I got this email yesterday that I was to be on a LinkedIn Live today at 1 o'clock. So, you know how they say, stay ready so you don't have to get ready? I'm ready. I got this email like first thing. I don't want to say like first thing in the morning, but I didn't really see it till like maybe 2 or 3 o'clock because I had executive sessions with clients yesterday. And so I try to make sure I go straight to that and don't do social media. So I was like, oh, okay. And this will be my first time being live on LinkedIn. So I'm excited about that. It's called My Morning Coffee Drip. Now, the origin of the show is in California. So it will still be morning at 1 o'clock their time when I'm doing the show, just in case you're wondering, like, huh? So, yes, I will be there with Tanya McKenzie. She's the founder of Sands and Shores PR. And it appears as if I have been chosen from the standpoint leadership is newsworthy. And that makes me really happy to believe that. I believe that leadership is newsworthy. And you know, I'm going to be talking about the garden all up in there, so you all will never be forgotten and be included. I did post an interview that I did back in March that just aired yesterday with Lindsay Verner, and she's a mindset expert, and she had me speak on her platform back in March, and she just aired it yesterday, and that is, I think I put it on my social media handles. But that the mindset that is, when I work with clients, the first thing I do mindset work. And that's when I was able, because leadership, honestly, let's just really be clear with this. Leadership, the first part of leadership is self-awareness. Being able to know your triggers and know when you are intentionally leading or are you being influenced by external factors. And so, therefore, you really are not leading the ship. Because you want to be able to own all your actions. And that's what I work with on my clients. And when universities hire me to work with their staff, that's the first thing I do. I want you to decide what guides your decision. And then I can go with because that means I can clear up the cobwebs. And I'm going to be very honest with you. When you first start doing that, you know, with someone, there's someone of a defense because you want to protect, you know, how you guide in your ship. And I am just the one planting the seed for you to be able to recognize your leadership. Your leadership, so that you can advance. That's the key. How do you want to advance if you are not familiar with your triggers? Because otherwise, other people can push your button, boom, 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 and you don't even know what happened. So that's one of the key things, because I say this often. You know, your advancement has a lot to do how you deal with the no's. And I learned, look, I'm not saying, as a kid, even at 54, no doesn't necessarily mean no, it just means no, not right now. So especially for women who are in sales, many women don't go into that part of development because they feel it can get personal, and the rejection is the no is a rejection of them and not the pitch itself. So these are just things that I talked about, and she found how I led my consulting from that first standpoint was pretty interesting, and I shared that. So you can go, I think you can go on Lindsay Varner. It's called First Class Life. Yeah, you can go on YouTube, and you can go find it. It's called First Class Life. And it was fun. And I had to listen to it all over again because I forgot what I said back in March. But I'm pretty pleased that I still endorse everything I said back in March. Now, if you feel like you missed out last weekend with the golf, I give another opportunity for you, for us to connect, okay? At the end of this month, Monday, June 27th, at 7 p.m., we were having our 8th annual listener appreciation reception being held at the NACTA convention. NACTA convention. Now, I want you to put it down now, because I know what's going to happen. You're going to get all excited, and you're going to forget that you need to be at this place on Monday night. Now, here's the thing. If you're talking to somebody, you want to go to dinner, just bring them along with you when you come to the reception. The reception is held at my timeshare, so you really must register so I can send you a notice of what unit we'll be held in. This is in my timeshare. And again, this is our 8th year. 2 years we were virtual. So for 5 years, I have held this event at either my suite in the hotel or my timeshare. So this will be no different. We'll be in Las Vegas at my timeshare, and we will have our 8th annual listener appreciation reception sponsored by the NCAA Leadership Development Group. You know that means DD Merritt. So thank you, DD, for believing in what we're doing here with Chat in the Garden and sponsoring this event. So you need to register by going to www.significanceinathletics.com. Significanceinathletics.com. And the other task I would say, if you don't have your magazines 1 through 3, Significance in Athletics and Sports magazine, which can be found on Amazon, you're going to want to have this because the contributors to those magazines will be there, and you're going to want them to sign your copy. Yes, you want to want them to sign your copy. And those individuals will be Dr. Angel Mason, Dr. Ivana Rich, Natasha Wilson, Dr. Linda Bell, and Rob Knox. And I have not confirmed whether Janelle White will be there, but I know she's in Las Vegas because I saw her on the panel list. So I have her down as coming, and I've blown up their article so that you can take pictures with them and their article. You don't want to miss this fun time. And if you've seen the pictures of previous years, we have a ball. So don't miss out. Don't miss out. Go ahead and register at It is www.significanceinathletics.com. That is how you register, okay? One of our newest partners is C.W. Wall Foundation. She's going to be offering media training for student athletes. With name, image, and likeness on deck, this is a really important training. And we spoke, the owner of this is Candy Wall, and we spoke, I think, last week. And it's launching in the fall. But I suggested that she start with AAU as it relates to the media training. And she said she would take into great consideration. Because our young people are already using these mediums to showcase themselves, but they don't have any training other than watching someone else. So we want to be able to teach them how, honestly, like I just said, you know, how do you speak after disappointment? This is so important because I teach sports PR in class at Hampton University, and many of my students, and one of the parts I talk about is crisis PR. And of recent, I've seen the professional athletes throw each other under the bus on social media via my students telling me about this because I don't follow this foolishness. But my point for that is when the students and the young people see this, they will copycat that. And I can, again, if I was really paying attention closely, I'm pretty sure that you got some AAU rivalries going at it in social media, you know, and because they've seen on the professional ranks do that. Now, I think on the college side, you kind of catch that and you say, because I do know in some situations there's some type of penalties for doing so. Now, let's be clear, Muhammad Ali, his tactics were for a reason. But I will tell you, his tactics took a huge, huge hit on Mr. Frazier and his family. Because he called him all kinds of names. But his was to get publicity, to get followers. But years later, because you know I'm an avid reader, Muhammad Ali really felt bad about how he utilized the rivalry in such a negative light. So we just, I mean, again, that being something that's in my mind, and PR is something that I'm trained in, we got to be able to catch it before it goes too far and we can't bring it back in. So that's why I suggested to CWOW Foundation, because they're doing other type of student-athlete development pieces. But I said, this is you, because she announced something about the Washington football team, something that I don't know, but somebody, some player did something or some staff person, and I guess he had a press conference, and then he took down his media, and she made a comment that he did it on his own. So this is a person who is in the media right now and on the professional side, and she wants to assist, because I feel that she's probably seen a need, and she knows that we need to start early. So if you want to be on her, I want to say a pilot group, because she's launching it in the fall, you need to contact her at info@seawallfoundation.org. Again, info@seawallfoundation.org. And I really would like to see some DMV people to take advantage of this great opportunity. Z Butler is another one of our media partners, and she has got a fabulous book, and I'm back at my desk so I can go back to my usual piece of announcing one of her tips, okay? So one of her tips, yes, oh, I love this. Tip number 6, take advantage of your academic advisors. Going to junior college, I had an amazing academic advisor. Carolyn is the reason I graduated from Tyler Junior College. Coming from high school, I already had a qualifying GPA for University and State College, so I did not necessarily need to go to junior college. I had my other reasons for going. My sophomore year, I missed my finals of the last semester in one class because I had a date mixed up. Therefore, it dropped my GPA so bad I did not qualify to graduate. Since my GPA was already high enough, I said, I forget it. I don't need this degree to go to the next level. But Mrs. Giralde was such a huge supporter of women's basketball and truly cared about all athletes. She influenced me to talk to my instructors about going by opening tests up for me so I could pass and graduate and include Tyler Junior College on my resume. Best decision ever. Plus, it really did not quite make sense that I made who's who among junior college students and academics but did not graduate from junior college because of academics. So this is tip number 6, and the tip is take advantage of your academic advisors. So I think this is a great book to put into the hands of your incoming student athlete so that you can have a, I'll say a home base, a template to keep coming back to so that you'll have a reason to say, check in. Have you read this? How are we coming with this? And it's a small book. It has like, I want to say, it's like 69 pages. So it is something that would not go like you give it to a kid, oh, I got to read this. No. It's just a real quick read and a real good way to engage your freshman. And let's be clear, the freshmen need a little bit more attention because they're not used to having so much time on their hands. And we can't just keep them busy by activities that are physical. We have to engage their mind too. So this is a great resource to do that. To get your copy today, go to payhip.com/theballcode, and you'll be able to buy it in bulk. Again, payhip.com/theballcode. 25 tips for the next level student athlete, resource for parents, athletes, administration, and coaches. Another resource that I endorse 1,000% that I'm about to send off a couple today, and the first 10 people who come to the reception will receive this book. It is media partner Asia Ford, Aisha Ford, the author of the book, Success is My Major. And this is a great book, especially if you are pushing professional development. And I would say you get this one for your older student athletes, sophomores on up, because after they, that's when they're starting to come into their own and figuring out how they fit into your system. And usually it's not necessarily that, their physical part of not fitting in, is their mental part of not fitting in. And this is part, the premise of this book is come in entitled and leave unforgettable. Because you work on yourself instead of pointing the finger like, oh, coach don't like me, so-and-so not including me, or you're not using my talents, I'm sitting on the bench. And so, hey, you got to realize that you got to be able to attack this portal situation with offense. And I believe this book is part of that offense to be able to show them that, number one, you're not the only person that felt this way, and number two, work on you, and then your light will shine. And work on you means work on the professional development of self. And this young lady who wrote this book is on a Power Five institution as a recruiting coach. So she does know from her own experience, and then the young people that she's dealing with. And number three, people, she's not even 30 years old. So you better get on board with this young lady before she blows up, okay? I mean, I believe that she'd be up here with Eric Thomas, okay? Because it's written like a John Maxwell book. It's very good. So to get your copy today, go to successmajorbook.com. successmajorbook.com. All right? And, hey, I will be on Meet the Contributors this evening, but I will not have a guest. So you can just talk to me about anything tonight at 6 p.m. But, and go back and watch some of the other contributors. Because guess what? We'll be starting soon with the next contributors. The next magazine comes out in August. It's in production now. I'm excited for the individuals that we have in there. And the pre-sale will launch in July. So I will begin to do the upcoming folks in July. In the meantime, you know, go check out Ava Amica. We tried the midst of the storm and whatnot. We got it done last Wednesday. Dr. Ivana Rich, Dr. Denisha Hendricks, Dr. Linda Bell, all the individuals in the third magazine are on there. Actually, all contributors 1 through 3 of the magazine, Significant Athletics and Sports, is on Facebook, and just type in contributors, and you'll be able to watch all the videos that we have done Facebook Lives on. And if you are missing the magazine, I would suggest going getting the magazine from Amazon, because you get it faster. Because if I get it, they take forever to send me my copy. And so if you want to get it immediately, especially if you come into NACTA, I'm saying that you need to go ahead and do it that way. And but if you just want the PDF, now mind you, the people as they're coming to the reception, you can't sign a PDF. But if you are not coming and you still want to get issue 1 through 3, you can go to payhip.com/seeds of empowerment. Again, /seeds of empowerment. And we're really glad about that resource because all of the women, the girls, volunteers for the golf tournament, they received the third magazine, and so did all the attendees of the golf tournament. They received all of the third issue. It's time to take control of your health by getting more fruits and vegetables in your body. Bridge the gap between what you do eat and what you should eat. Jolie Robinson of Stepping to Win wants to coach you through this process. Contact her at 980-298-2231. Again, 980-298-2231 or email her at jrobinson@steppingtowin.com. And lastly, one of the resources that I have been talking about for years, and it's really, really important. Somebody called me yesterday about name, image, and likeness and how does that work. And I continue to say, I said, you need to make sure you have a task prepared for that young person because whoever what the deal is, you know, you don't want to mess with their scholarship. Because if you receive a certain amount of money, it will affect that. So, Surviving the Lights, the Professional Athlete's Playbook to Avoid the Curse by Tawana Smith. So the curse really is about making money and losing money before you even get a chance to spend it from a professional athlete standpoint. And most of the young people, because they've had people to take care and do things for them, they have no idea how to do this. And she even speaks about, you know, not using Uncle Joe, who has a car dealership, as your accountant. Look, famous individuals have gotten in trouble with IRS because they didn't do the taxes right, i.e. Steve Harvey. Let that not be one of your student athletes, okay? So this book is found on Amazon in paperback, audio, and ebook. Surviving the Lights of Professional Athlete's Playbook to Ruin the Curse by Tawana Smith. So now the time has come to meet our guest of the hour, Stephanie Wilkinson, athletic director for Charlotte Mecklenburg Schools. Welcome to the garden, Charlotte. I mean, Stephanie, please. Hi, Stephanie.
Hi, Monique. Hi, thank you for having me. I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm doing fabulous, girl. Can't you tell? I'm just all giddy.
I was really enjoying your monologue. So there were some pieces that you went over that really hit, especially knowing your triggers. I had to write a few things down.
Oh, that makes me happy. That makes me happy. Yeah, I call it my Johnny Carson. So now I'm sitting at the desk now. I was on the stage at first, but now I came over here to the desk to talk to you. So,
well, I'm really excited to be here.
Oh, I am too. So let's jump right on in and tell everyone about your journey from college to your current position.
Oh, wow. So I went to college at University of North Carolina, Greensboro, and I was a physical education major. A lot of people, if they don't realize that UNCG was a former women's college, and they are one of the pioneers in physical education, especially for female teachers. So it was a really big program, a very serious program there, the physical education. They took a lot of pride in it. So I did my undergrad there. At first, I had started out, actually, I was a sports medicine major. I used to have dreams of being like an NFL trainer. But when I got there to UNCG, my advisor told me, she said, well, most of the training jobs are in high schools, so why don't you just go get your teaching degree and then come back, you know, later to get, you know, the training part of it. And I'm like, okay. But once I got into the pedagogy classes and did all that, I found a passion for it. So I just stuck with the physical education and, you know, wanted to make my mission being more in the schools. So then from there, I got a job right out of college at Ida High School in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, called Parkland Magnet High School. And immediately when I started there, my first year teaching, I also started working with the athletics department. I didn't even really go into coaching. I went straight to working in athletic administration because the AD was a family friend of ours. so I jumped right in, and I started really working heavily with football. And that's kind of just where I kind of got the taste that I really like this. I like being, you know, being an AD. So I did that for a couple years. And I slowed down to have a family. I have two young daughters. So, you know, I was having babies and I just focused on teaching while they were young. And then we made a move back to Charlotte, North Carolina. And so when I got a job at West Charlotte High School, I said, oh, maybe I want to get back into the athletic administration side of things. And the AD there at the time, he needed some help. So it worked out perfectly. I was working on my master's at the time too, in school administration from Gardner Webb. And so it all kind of, you know, worked out together. And so I stayed there for 4 years as an assistant AD. And if everybody knows about West Charlotte High School, it's one of the most historic high schools in North Carolina. So it was, I learned a whole lot and made a lot of great connections. Some of the greatest people that came out of Charlotte, North Carolina came through West Charlotte High School. So I did that. And then finally, after my fourth year there, I saw an AD opening at another high school in Charlotte. And I said, I think I'm ready to run my own program. And so I applied and I got the job. So I've been at Olympic High School ever since.
How long has that been?
5 years. So I just finished my fifth year at Olympic High School.
Wow. Yeah.
It goes by fast. It goes by very fast.
Oh, it does. It does. And you know, this is what I like to say to folks. And you're like, what? Well, yes, I came out of college at 22, but I was an administrator straight out. So where a coach may go from coaching and then become administrator, I'm like, no, I still got more years on you. Even though you may be older and you've been coaching longer, you ain't been an administrator as long as you.
Correct. That's absolutely correct.
So hats off to you.
Thank you.
Got a question, though. It's a personal question for me. Because you said Gardner Webb. Where is Hickory, North Carolina?
So Hickory, North Carolina, is going towards the mountains. And it's not far from Gardner Webb. It's in a county called Catawba County. And it's like going towards Asheville. So I would say it's probably about an hour from Charlotte.
Okay.
And not far from Appalachian State University in Boone. So it's kind of on the way to Boone as well.
Okay. So how far is it from Winston-Salem?
Winston-Salem? No, because actually Hickory from Winston-Salem is really also another about an hour and a half. You know, Winston-Salem is going towards the western part of the state as well. So it's only about an hour and a half. It's not far at all.
But
maybe not even an hour and a half. It might be a little bit shorter than that.
That's what I was thinking, because I need to go to Winston-Salem to do a workshop, but I also need to see a family friend's daughter's name after me, and she just had a baby. She had a baby in February.
Uh-huh.
And I've been trying to get there, and every time I'm like, I went to Durham. I said, she said, they were 2 hours from Durham. I said, well, I got to get back to Virginia. So I'm trying to plan out something. And I said, when you said Gardner Webb, that's it. You know, that's closer to the western side. She might know what Hickory is.
Oh, absolutely. I have a lot of family. I have a lot of family in Hickory. So actually, I went to Hickory for Memorial Day. So
what?
I go there frequently. Yes.
Okay, well, I'm gonna tell you when I'm going, okay?
Yeah, I could definitely help you out. I could definitely help, because one good thing about, like, Hickory is it's kind of off of two major interstates in the state. So when you're coming from Winston-Salem, you'll be coming off of I-40. But say if you're coming from Charlotte, you'll be kind of coming off 85 and going 321. So it's close to the interstates, and it's easy to get
to. Okay, good. Yeah, I'm determined. But I'm determined, but I'm planful. Because, girl, this gas ain't no joke. You hear me?
It is not. It is not. And that really kind of makes you take a pause and say, okay, I might not need to plan that trip or go to this place, or you have to try to be really strategic in what you're doing.
Because my god sister wanted me to come to Raleigh for Memorial Day. And I was like, when I was like, no, Because it's got to be something attached to my work, because I just can't be just going. You know what I mean? I mean, I love everybody. I know it gives me the balance, but the balance of that gas is already tilting me to the other direction.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's one thing, even as us on the school side of things and professionally, that we've got to really figure this out, because, you know, we take buses to games, and it's like, you know, we're charged for mileage, so I got to figure out what those bills are going to look like now. It's going to be a lot different, I know that's for sure.
Well, speaking of administration, we got some questions from my sister AD down in Alabama. You know her as Katasha Turner, A.D. Turner at Selma Public
Schools. Hey, Katasha. Yeah, I know Katasha.
Did I see a picture of you all at the NIAAA together?
I don't think we linked up there, but we had reached out to each other. We just couldn't get on the same schedule. When you always go there, there's so much going on, and you have different groups who want to do this and that. So I wasn't able to link in person, but we texted while we were there.
Oh, good. Because, you know, I know you heard what I said about NACDA. So I did partner with Ava Amaker of ANA Athletics when it was in D.C. With a reception. So I think I'm going to do the same thing this year in December, come to Nashville. And because there are many women that are high school athletic directors in Significance in Athletics and Sports magazine. So
correct.
I want to do the same thing there and have them do significant signings.
Mm-hmm. I remember when you publicized your event, and we had a district event at the same time, so it conflicted, so I wasn't able to make it up there. But I just thought that was a great idea to do, because the support is needed. You know, I think the numbers are growing in high school, you know, athletics as far as women ADs. So it's something to have good to have a support system that you can connect with.
Speaking of our support system, we're going to ask some questions that she has for you. And the questions that she has, but I'm sure it's going to have everyone else that's listening. All right. Her first question is, how important is mentorship and student leadership in high school?
I think it's very important. I think, you know, personally for me, I don't think I could do the job as well as I've done it if it wasn't for student leadership. I need the help of the kids, just to be honest. Like, you know, there's just not enough adult bodies around to get everything done that's needed to be done in the role of athletics. So student leadership, kids stepping up to help out, wanting to help out, taking pride in their programs and wanting to learn, it's a really big deal. So we have to identify which students will be great in these roles. You know, a lot of times they are already athletes. And other times there might just be students who have a passion for athletics but might not necessarily play sports. When we mentor them and we bring them kind of into our folds and teach them, you know, the best ways to be professional, it makes the department as a whole grow, excel. So I think it's very important, and it's something that should be prioritized for in a high school athletic director.
Okay. So another question is, what is the importance of female presence in athletics?
A female presence?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's very important because, you know, females are playing sports, so there needs to be representation in administrative positions and coaching positions, because young ladies are playing sports. It's offering them opportunities that they've never had before to engage in and have experiences that they've never had. I feel like a lot of people who go on to do great things in their professional careers, they were athletes. And so it can only help young ladies, because they're looking to be in these professional roles as well. They need to learn these skills that are being taught while being on a team, working together for a common goal. So there needs to be representation from top to bottom of females in athletics, because it only helps the industry as a whole.
Well, she has another question that leads me to think that you got some real good social media. Is that a huge part of your platform?
It is, and I'm trying to get better at it, but it's something that we've leaned on a lot.
Well, she has a question, which I started not to ask, but I'm going to ask it anyway. What graphic company do you use for your department?
We use Gipper, Gipper, and we also use Canva. Those are the two main ones that we use. Now, I also have some very talented individuals around me. So I have a young man who was one of my student athletes who create. He's into graphic design, and he creates graphics for me. And I also have a coach who creates graphics for me, but they are on a much higher level than I am. So they use Adobe Photoshop and I think programs like mm-hmm. that. So like the more complex ones, those are the people who have a little bit more training in that area than I have. So we use that. I lean on when I want to do specialized graphics, especially ones highlighting achievements either of the student athletes or the coaches or a team, I'll lean on them who knows how to like make professional looking graphics. As far as the ones I put out, when I'm putting out different information, I mostly use Canva or Gipper.
Well, I think that's what she was asking. She was thinking that you use the company, but you use staff members or students that have a gift in that area.
Yes, I've been blessed in that regard because for a while I was looking for people because, like I said, I can only do so much. I just don't have, you know, that skill set to really create those graphics. But it's becoming a big business. So, like, the young mm-hmm. man who creates graphics for me, like, he has blown up and he creates graphics for kids all over the country. Just like, you know, when kids do signings or they commitments and things like that. And so he's made a business out of it. And so it's very big. So I wanted somebody who can take it to the next level. So I've been blessed to have people right here in the building who could do that for me.
That is a blessing. So he might be getting Katasha as a client as well.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I can definitely share their information.
Well, you know, if you can share that with me as a follow-up, that would be good, and I'll put it in the group. Not just for Katasha, but for everybody.
Absolutely.
Okay. So we're going to take a short break here in Chat in the Garden, and when we return, we have some more questions for the young lady who became an administrator straight out the back, Stephanie Wilkinson, athletic director for Charlotte Mecklenburg Schools.
My name is Candy Waller, and I'm the president of the Seawall Foundation, a 501c3 nonprofit organization established to enhance the transferable skills of student athletes. We are currently launching a media training course to prepare student athletes to effectively engage with the press and the public. To learn more, email us at info@seawallfoundation.org. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
Did you know that athletic identity is one of the top three struggles athletes experience, especially in terms of their talent? My name is Zedrilyn Butler, and I am a former Division I NJCAA and NCAA women's basketball player. My book, 25 Tips for the Next Level Student Athlete, is a great resource for parents, coaches, and supporters to equip their college athletes. Pick up your copy at www.payhip.com/theballcode. Together, we can beat athletic identity.
What's good, family? My name is Aisha Ford, former student athlete and author of the book Success is My Major. Now, when I was a student athlete, I went on a mission to maximize my college experience and prepare for the real world by studying successful people. And I lay out everything that I learned in my new book, Success is My Major. Everything from leadership development, character development, understanding how to transfer the skills that I learned on the court, and how to use those in the real world. If you would like to learn more about the book, please visit successmajorbook.com or email me at aisha@successismymajor.com.
This is Alva Champion Amaker of ANA Athletic Consulting and Vigilant Safety Training Center. My investment to become a member of the Advanced Academy is one of the best decisions I've made in my business and personal growth journey. Working with Monique has provided the network to connect and collaborate with some phenomenal women and leaders, exposed me to literature for growth, and opportunities to share my skill sets and knowledge. Her candid approach in the one-on-one sessions make me more accountable for taking the necessary steps toward my advanced success. Thank you, Monique, and I appreciate you.
Why do colleges support student athletes pursuing every profession except professional sports? Why are they treated as just students when they're athletes, knowing that they need help surviving their lives? I'm Tawana Smith, and as a former Division I and pro athlete and now best-selling author, I've created a transition system specifically for student athletes called Surviving the Lights. For more information, visit www.survivingthelights.com to learn how we can change the game together.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Monique A.J. Smith. Well, time has run out, but I got one important question, okay? What is the hardest decision you had to make thus far in your career, and how has it molded or prepared you for your next accomplishment?
Wow, that's a really good one. let me think. I will say that this past year was probably the most challenging of my career. We had a really big issue that kind of hit national news when we had a player on one of our teams who was charged with a crime. But we have rules here that state, you know, charges don't mean that they can't play. So we allowed them to play, and it, you know, it created a whole media thing from there. So, you know, and I think, you know, all of that during the moment of it, it was very difficult, and you constantly question yourself and like, did I do the right thing? And so what I did after being able to reflect back on it, you know, I still feel like what we did was the right thing. And I think that what I've learned basically in my career is that you have to trust yourself and you trust your training. You trust your judgment. You know that, you know, you never really steered yourself wrong. And while sometimes taking the heat is going to be tough, but in the end, if things work out as they should, if you're doing the right thing, don't waver from, you know, your morals and what you think to be right. And so that was probably one of the hardest things that I, you know, did was not walking back on the decision that I made. And so it was a decision to stand in it and take the heat for everybody else who was kind of involved in the situation as well. And I think that moving forward now, like I was talking to one of my coaches, and it's like after going through all of that, I just feel like, you know, anything else that comes my way, like I'm very equipped to deal with. Because when you go through the fire like that, you know, in the media and everything, you come out of it, you know, as a stronger person, I think that, you know, your career will be better for it.
You grow through the process.
Correct.
Yeah, you grow through the process. And that's one of the reasons why one of the things I do with my clients is I say, what guides your decision? Because when you seem to have known that was all in you, yeah, it might have been in the rules and whatnot, but you have to be able to look yourself in the mirror. And if you, it's like coaching. If you play the person somebody else told you to play, then you're going to be resentful because you felt like that loss was not yours. You can't own it. Because I say, own your ship to guide your ship. If you let somebody else, you know, do that, you're going to be sitting there all resentful and whatnot. You got to own the good and the bad, especially if you are the one guiding. And you seem at peace. Am I correct?
Correct.
Well, I thank you so much for sharing that insight. I do have one more question because, you know, I'm all about she's a read. Share a book that has assisted you in your leadership.
I will have to say, and this is an old one, but it's one that I always go back to, which is The Purpose-Driven Life. Sometimes mm-hmm. we get, you know, sometimes we question our purpose. Sometimes, like I said, when you go through situations, you wonder am I doing the right things? And that's one that I always go mm-hmm. back to and to stay grounded because my faith is very strong. So I am a spiritual person, so and it has that element to it because I've read, you know, lots of leadership books. There is one that I had a lot of recommendations on that I want to also try because it's, which is The Energy Bus, which I've been hearing great things about.
Oh, yeah. Excellent.
So
excellent.
Mm-hmm. That's one that I want to get on, but I always kind of go back to The Purpose-Driven Life because it helps to keep me rooted in my faith, and I feel like if I feel like God is speaking to me through, you know, my gut, my instinct, I feel like that's God talking to me, and if it never wavers mm-hmm. and it's still leading me down the path and making the decisions that I make, then I know that I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. So, and I always have to kind of remind myself of that.
So if you do that, you will have conviction and confirmation, and you won't look for validation outside of yourself.
Absolutely correct. I always say that. Like, outside validation does very little for me. I don't do, you know, this job, because it's more than a job to me. This is a passion. And I don't mm-hmm. do this for outside accolades for people to tell me how great I am at doing it, because I just feel like I know within that I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, and if I'm going to be doing it, I'm going to try to do it well. And so that's always been a thing. Outside validation is just, if that's what people are seeking, it's going to lead you down the wrong path, and you won't be able to lead properly.
Girl, you will love our mastermind, because last month, that's all we did. And Tatasha remembered that. And you ask her about it. Ask her about last month. We instead of, you know, we talk about leadership and other skill set, but we sat there and talked about our devotions, the mm-hmm. ones, the resources that we use to keep us up during these times of our ship may be rocking a little bit, have mm-hmm. steady, you know what I mean? So I just want to say thank you for joining me today. I hope you've enjoyed your time here in the garden.
I have. Thank you so much for having me.
You are so welcome, dear. You are so welcome. And I want to say thank you to Jamla Harrison, a Refined Solutions, for serving as an engineer, and In My Eyes and My Ears. Join us next Wednesday at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time for show guests and podcasts. Follow Facebook's A Chat in the Garden with Monique A.J. Smith. And have a significant rest of the day.